winning the war in our minds, winning the war in our minds. And I guarantee you, if you let it, this is going to bless you tremendously. Bless you tremendously. I don't want you to take your phones out just yet. I'll tell you when I need you to. But I just want you to know that my expectation is it's going to bless you tremendously. And I'm going to make a quick detour, because prior to the moment, we're supposed to have a song playing. So I'm going to see if you know the song. No, I'm not going to sing it. But anybody know the artist, Jonathan McReynolds? Everybody heard of him? Amen. Right. Amen. Jonathan gets a clap. Now, he has a song. He had a song. It's pretty old now, but it's still relevant. He had a song called Cycles. Everybody know that song called Cycles? So I'm going to just read a couple of lyrics. And the song goes like this. It says, "Didn't I conquer this last year? Tell me what I missed, because I fear that it's coming back up again. It must be something I ate, some song, some show, some hate. The devil wants to extend the game, free throws. And when he ends, he wants to make the sequel, because if he has another chance, he feels that he can take my joy, my peace, my faith. See, the devil, he learns from your mistakes, even if you don't. That's how he keeps you in cycles, cycles." So this song captures the battle in the mind of trying to break the cycle of activities that aren't in God's will for our lives. Whatever the cycle, whatever the pattern, starting today, we are going to begin winning the war in our minds. Cycles are actions that we repeat, and toxic cycles in our life often involve these following stages. There's the tension building stage that it involves moving a war to abuse. Then there's a place of false reconciliation, a calm period, and then the tension builds up again. And these cycles start in our minds and our thoughts. And thoughts that are untrue but that we repeat are the lies we tell ourselves. Like the following: I just can't change. Even if I try, I'll always be stuck. I can never get out of debt. No matter what I do, I'll always struggle financially. No one really loves me. And if they knew the real me, they definitely not want to be in my life. And these aren't the only ones, but starting today, we are waging the war on the lies. Starting today, we are exposing them. We are developing a plan to deal with them, and we will have a tangible response so that we can win the war in our minds. We'll deal with a couple of different texts today, but they will point toward the first step, which is called the replacement principle. Let the church say replacement principle. Come on, say it again, replacement principle. This is where we remove the lies and replace them with the truth. Last series, we talked about power. But what will keep you powerless is if you have the wrong mindset. And today, let's win the war in our mind. Let the church say, "I'm going to win the war in my mind." Y'all sound like y'all just about to tap out. Let's try this again. I'm going to win. Try one more time. I'm going to win. There it is, the war in my mind. Good. Our first point today, I promise only 2 points for us today. The first point today is perception is reality. Perception is reality. Romans 12, 2, 1 to 2 says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will." Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and as his book is ending, his focus is on righteousness and relationships, particularly righteousness in the church and among believers. He says, based on what I discussed previously about the gospel of Christ and God's righteousness in various venues, I need you to change your perception, because perception is reality. And because God is merciful, Paul says, your actions should pattern one that is dedicating themselves to God. Holy and pleasing simply means I'm separating myself from the things that displease God, and I'm drawing closer to the things that do please God. And after Paul talks about the body, he then gets into the mind. He says, after you think about how good God has been and you line up your activity in a way that pleases him, there are some pitfalls. Perception is reality. He says, watch out for the world's patterns, because they will mess up your perception. Watch out for the pitfalls mentally and emotionally, because they will lead you into a place that's hard to escape. And in order to steer clear, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And after your mind is renewed, then you can test the options that are in front of you. When my mind is renewed, I can know God's will versus my own. When the mind is renewed, I can know the perfect will of God versus the permissive will of God. God wants us to have a renewed mind, not a tired mind. Because when my mind and when your mind is tired, we feel unmotivated. When our minds are tired, we lack concentration. When our minds are tired, we get easily angry or irritated. Even the small things can make you lose control. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, is your mind renewed? Say, neighbor, is that why you're so angry? Right. And listen, and after those emotions kicked in, and if my mind is not renewed, then my activities follow my misperception. You need some Bible. Abraham and Sarah had the perception that age was enough to stop God's will. Moses had the perception that his past sins and a speech impediment was going to discredit what God wanted to do in his life. Elijah had the perception that he was the only one doing the Lord's will, and he was by himself. Thomas had the perception that after the cross, Jesus left him all alone and he didn't know what to do. But here's a shout this morning. God is bigger than our misconceptions. Watch this. Aren't you glad that even though our perceptions might be skewed, God's perceptions of us still remain good? Here, let me shout you. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ gave his life. In other words, God sees you as valuable. The Bible says you're the head and not the tail. In other words, God sees you as worthy and doing great things. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall have eternal life. In other words, God sees you as worthy of love and worth saving. The parental perspective is better than the child perspective. A child will see something happen for us teachers and think it's the worst day of their lives and can't see past the localized pain of the moment. A parent is able to see the beginning and know the potential of the end and says, even though this moment is bad right now, I believe there's something better for you. So when the child falls and scrapes their knee, this is the worst day of my life. When the child comes home after their first breakup, this is the worst day of my life. After the child fails their first, second, or third, fourth test, they'll say, this is the worst day of my life. But the parent has the perspective, I know your beginning, I know this is just a snapshot, and I know there's greatness in you, so even though you can't see it, I'll love you through your misperceptions. There's a shout in the building that God has loved you through some tough times, even when you didn't see the greatness in yourself. If you believe that, give God a praise this morning. Perception is reality. Perception is reality. But here's the truth. There is a war, and you're in the middle of it. The war is not with your boss. The war is not with your spouse. The war is not with your ex. Your war is not with your neighbor. The war is not with the politician that you don't like. The war is not with a gender or an ethnicity. The war is with the enemy called Satan. Oh, it's going to get cold in here. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Satan wants to steal your destiny, kill your authority, and destroy the purpose that God has for your life. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. In other words, Satan is in constant motion, looking for someone to devour, looking for those of us who have let his lies become our truth so that he can destroy us. John 8:44 says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding on to the truth, for therefore there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. The enemy is at the war with you, and the enemy wants you to believe the lies. And if Satan can get you to change your perception, you won't believe the truth of the word. If Satan can get you to change your perception, you won't believe that God still loves you. If Satan can get you to change your perception, he'll trick you into believing that you don't need to be saved. And that salvation is just an emotional response at the end of the church service. If Satan can get you to believe the misperception, he'll tell you that the world's way is better than God's plans for you. But I declare that since this is the year of power, we will not believe the lies of the enemy in 2024. Do you know what a false narrative is? A false narrative is what someone might write about you. I got a couple of athletes in here, Sean, athlete, Gabby, athlete. False narrative. Do you know certain athletes turn off their social media accounts when the playoffs start? Because they don't want to hear the false narratives that somebody says about them. Because the more they read them, they begin to internalize them and believe that it's true. And people that write false narratives are like this: if you don't pay attention to me, I'll keep writing something bad until you respond and I can get your attention. What the enemy is trying to do is get you to respond to the false narrative. God don't love you no more. False narrative. You'll never get better. False narrative. You can never be great. False narrative. But who in here is tired of reading the false narratives of your life? Who in here is ready to change your perception and follow the truth of God's word? God says, I want my people free in their minds to see the truth of my love for them, to see their destiny in the earth, and that can't happen if they have blurred perception. God says, I want my children to know that I love them. I want them to tell others about my love for them, and I want them to establish my kingdom on the earth. I want my children to know you have a destiny in me that ends in eternity with me. And the lies that we believe are robbing us of our joy and of our peace. You are in a battle, my brothers and sisters, but watch this. It's already been won by Jesus. But you have to shut off the noise. You have to stop believing the lies. You have to trust the plan of God for your life. If you believe that, why don't you give God a praise? So we talked about perception is reality. Now, in the next point, I promise only 2 points. The next point is this. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is a fight. Now, wait. Some of y'all was a little bit aggressive. This is just a title. I don't mean to threaten nobody. Try that again. I heard it. Say, neighbor, this is a fight. We're moving past conceptual, which is what I just did, and we're moving to application. Because a fair question to ask is this: Pastor, how do I stop believing the lies that are suggested to me or I have manufactured myself? How do I turn this thing around and practice the replacement principle? First of all, you have to destroy the stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, it should be on the screen. It says, the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let the church say, demolish the strongholds. Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth, telling them that the battles they face are supernatural and weapons that they possess aren't natural ones. He says, you have divine power, dunamis, to demolish strongholds. Strongholds in ancient times were unapproachable and impenetrable. The lies of the enemy in your life are a stronghold. They are a reality and they have activity. They are thoughts that have established themselves as the truth, and they have the activity of keeping your life in bondage. Paul is saying for you to demolish them, you have to take captive every thought. Let the church say, this is a fight. And since this is the year of power, this type of battle is going to take us being aggressive. Uh-oh, some of y'all need to shake it off. Because I know I have some really nice Christians in here, but this year is going to take you being aggressive. Demolish in the Greek means destruction requiring massive power, or destruction causing massive violence. So this war is not going to be won with passivity. This war is not going to be won with a meek approach. Ephesians 1:19-20 tells us this: I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same power that Christ raised, that raised Christ from the dead. So in other words, God is giving you the power to overcome the lies, this power that God utilized to resurrect his son. So since I have the power, who's ready to be aggressive this morning? Oh, no, no. God, kind of, who? Come on. Listen. I'm going to jump right to it. In order to fight a stronghold, in order to pull down a stronghold, you can't get around using the word of God. If Satan's weapon of choice is a lie, then my counterattack is the truth of the word of God. In the book that I'm coming out of, the book is called Winning the War of Your Mind by Craig Groeschel. He says you can't defeat what you can't define. So here comes the practical part, and I'm not planning to shout y'all at the end. I'm really planning for you to listen, take some notes. These are practical steps. So you have to identify the problem, ask probing questions, pinpoint the lie, apply the word. Identify the problem, ask probing questions, pinpoint the lie, then apply the word. What's the problem? What are the red flags I'm seeing? What is the lie that I'm believing? What does the word say? And what is my new declaration? The problem, I stay in debt because I need to buy the newest and the best. And because of this habit, I'm in a cycle of debt. Question, why am I feeling this way? Is fear driving this? What triggers this behavior? Why do I spend so much compulsively? Prayer, God, help me get to the root of my behavior. The lie is this: if you just had better stuff, you'd fit in and you'd be more happy. The root is you need to spend because your worth in your mind comes from what you own. I'm spending it because my parents didn't have it, and I felt bad because my parents always complained about not having it. So now I've attached my joy to my stuff. The word says in Philippians 4, 12 to 13, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in what. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So since the lie is exposed and the word is in my possession, here's my declaration that I write to myself. The declaration says this: I can be content regardless of my circumstances, because no matter what I have or what I don't have, I do have Jesus. That means I can rejoice in the Lord always, and my joy is not found in my stuff, and my value is not found in my possessions. Let me do one more example, and I'm going to get out your way. Problem. I have a self-destructive habit of alcohol, pill, bad relationships, overeating, especially after a stressful encounter. Why am I feeling this way? Why do I need this? Why is taking this a necessity for me to calm down or feel at peace or feel worthy? Prayer, God, help me see the root of my behavior. Lie, these things will give you the peace and the rest you desire. The root of it is you believe that you need something to give you the peace that you're looking for. So you're dealing with the outward indicators to numb you, because the first time drama hit in your life, instead of somebody praying for you, they gave you ice cream. Instead of somebody loving you, they said, let me get a drink. Instead of somebody spending time with God with you, you just found somebody to take the pain away, and now you turn the blind eye to the red flags and the bad relationship just because they made you feel good in the moment. But the word in Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Declaration: I do need help and peace, but it won't come from a relationship. It won't come from a bottle. It won't come from a pill. It won't come from food. And numbing myself with these things is a cycle that I'm in. God says, when I'm weak, I need to go to him. God says, when I'm tired, I need to cast my cares on him, because he cares for me and he promises me the rest I'm looking for. When Jesus was tempted by Satan with his lies, each time he responded with the word of God. Satan showed up with bread to tempt Jesus, with tempting Jesus to test God. He showed up with offering Jesus the world to save it, but it comes with the caveat of giving his allegiance to Satan. And Jesus responds to each lie with the word. You are in this war in your mind. You will have to increase your prayer life. you will have to increase your Bible reading and knowledge. You will have to increase your desire to get to the root of the problem and write declarations that you will say to continuously pull down the strongholds in your life. Y'all can praise God for that. When Satan sees that you're doing this, it won't be a one-time encounter against him. He will attack you with different lies from a different angle. But don't be discouraged. Identify the problem. Ask the questions. Pray and seek God for answers. Search the Word of God for the truth. And make a declaration with the Word of God to take captive every thought that would set itself up against God's will for your life. If you believe that, give God a praise this morning. So real quick. If you can take your phones out and Sister Tamika, if you could put it on the screen. We have a section in the app. I'm unsure where to find it. I don't think it's under media. But could you say that to me, Brother Bruce? It says declaring truth. So you press that button, you press the home screen, and right there, we can go back to the other screen for me with the image of it. This week, here's your assignment. Side note, we can't see this in the app, so this is personal. This is just for you. But I am serious about us winning the war in our minds moving forward. The year of power is not a joke. This is a real thing that I believe many of us are starting to feel and exhibit by the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we move forward, as we move forward in maturity, we got to do these things. So this week, I want you to click on that part where it says lie. Identify the lie. Type it in. Search God's truth for what will combat the lie that Satan is trying to tell you. And then the declaration is what you write for yourself. Declaring God's truth over your life. I really believe resurgence. I really believe resurgence family. I really believe resurgence guests. This is the time to start to take hold of the lies that we keep telling ourselves and the lies that the enemy keeps telling to us. There's no reason anymore to live underneath the calling that God has on your life. There's no reason anymore to believe the lies that the enemy tells you about being less than or not worthy. Now is the time to win the war in your mind. If we stand to our feet and give God some praise this morning. If this sermon blessed you, why don't you give God a hand? Winning the war, winning the war, winning the war, winning the war, winning the war in your mind, winning the war in your mind. As the band plays, I'm just going to look to the Lord. And as always, make this plea. The best way to begin this battle is through a relationship through Jesus Christ. It's very difficult to win the war in my mind that normally starts with the level of love I have or don't if I don't have a relationship with the one who loves me and who loved me enough to give up his son for my life. So we can bow our heads all around the sanctuary. I can't see you, but I'm going to trust that you're doing it. And I'm going to pray a prayer over you for those who may be saved, those who may not be saved, and then close us out with a benediction. God, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for showing us that perception is reality, and we need to perceive your goodness in our life. God, thank you for showing us that we're in a fight. But right now, I'm praying for those who are unsaved. God, when the enemy begins to whisper that it's not necessary to be saved, when the enemy begins to whisper that they're not loved, when the enemy begins to whisper, what has God done for you? You don't need him. God, we come against that spirit of lie in the name of Jesus. And we're believing that you will impact them in the supernatural, in their hearts and in their minds, so that they know that the best decision that they can make is to decide to give Jesus their life and give salvation a chance. For those who already know you, God, I pray that they are strengthened this week and have the courage to ask the questions about their behavior. Strengthen us, Lord, in a quiet time with you. to ask, what is the lie that I'm believing? To ask, Lord, for your word to show up in a powerful way. And then write down the declaration that I will begin to say each and every day so that I can win the war in my mind. Bless us now as we leave this time of worship, but never from your presence. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all God's people say amen, amen, and amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand of praise. Resurgence, we love you. Take care. We'll see you next week. God bless.